Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Page 322, the first article. What is the first article? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, you are not in control of creation. Let's just get that squared away right away. There are reports coming out on the internet, who knows whether we can believe them or not, that Yellowstone may be close to exploding with all of the earthquakes happening around there. We are in the midst of the fifth season of California with forest fires. We do not know when or how they are going to pop up. And how can we forget last winter, where all the forecasters said it's not going to be nearly as wet as it was previously, and we were in boats, buckets of water coming out of our ears. We are not in control of creation, and yet we just say at the beginning of the creed, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth." What are we really saying? Do you really believe that God has created everything that we have today? Do you believe that this is the day the Lord has made? Do we believe, despite what anyone might argue or even fight about with global warming, droughts, and how much rain we are going to get, that God is the one who orders our days and our deeds and his creation by his peace? He is before all things, and in him all things are held together, says Holy Scripture. All things were created by him, through him, and for him. And yet, if we deny Almighty God as our Creator and deny the scriptural account of creation as the truth, we are left in limbo. We're left in limbo regarding how we view Scripture, let alone our salvation. How can we have faith in a God who would lie to his people about their origins? How can we depend on a God so weak that he is unable to do what he claims and take care of everything for you in body and soul, including our environment, no matter how much we trash it. So our confession, our creed, our I believe is true in the triune God who both made the heavens and the earth. Luther, once again, we hear, he says, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body, soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. God cares for you. He has created you just the way that you are. You have been created in his image and in his likeness. You were hemmed in your mother's womb by him. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land and animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. What else does this say to you today? It says that you are not even in control of your life, are you? You really are not. Yes, we think that we know that what we're going to do today and tomorrow and the next day, we've got plans for next week, next month, and next year. But how many of those times have those plans had the carpet pulled out from underneath you? You drive to work, you drive to the grocery store on errands, and somebody runs a red light and slams into you. You step down to go get some mail out of your mailbox, and you fall down the stairs of your front porch. You get done with a Sunday service at the church where you're a pastor at, and somebody calls you from Illinois and says, we want you to be our pastor. You go to the doctor for a routine checkup, and all of a sudden you're being rushed in for emergency surgery, or they find something else horribly wrong. We are in control of so very little in this life, let alone this world. And you and I are not even in control of our own faith, are we? We like to talk about our faith or my faith, but apart from Christ and His Holy Spirit, we would have no I believes coming out of our mouth because it would all be about us. Peter today thought that he could come to faith in Jesus. Peter thought that he could walk the walk and talk the talk just like Jesus. He thought, like most Christians today like to maybe think, that he somehow could make a decision, that he somehow could follow Jesus where he was and where Jesus was at. He thought he could walk the walk and talk the talk of Jesus even on the sea. And Jesus says, fine. Come on out. And he sinks. What does this say for you and for me? If this Christian faith is all about you trying to walk the walk and talk the talk and live out some godly life that God would like for you to live and try to seek out, then you're going about this all in the wrong way. If you're trying to be like Jesus and walk in his footsteps, you're going about this all wrong. I'm going about it all wrong as well. Because many times I am like Job from Job chapter 23, where he says, I will seek out the Lord and ask him, but I honestly don't think he's going to listen to me. And that is where you get the Old Testament reading today in Job with God's answer. Were you there when I created this world? Were you there walking through the depths of the sea and all of these other things that he lists out? He doesn't say to Job, there. In many ways, it's a message of repentance. I am bigger, deeper, broader, wider, and more powerful than anything you could ever imagine, Job. And the same goes for me and for you. Despite what we think about what's going on in this world with all of the craziness, the saber rattling, the riots, and people mowing people down insanely with cars, despite what we think that's going on in the environment and all of our crazy activists and people who are fighting against each other because of the world that we live in on both sides of the aisle, despite what it is that we think that we are doing in this life, we are not in control. We are not. And if we think that we are, we will sink in our sins. Christ must come to you and me, and he has, in order to seek out and to save this lost world, to seek out and save me, lost in my sins, and you as well. You'll notice today he stepped into the boat and everything was made right. The wind and the waves, all of creation obeyed him. And the disciples glorified God. And then, only then, when Christ was in the boat, they truly could confess, "I believe truly that you are the Son of God." The ancient church often looked at the church building as it is, as a boat. You are sitting in the nave today, the technical term of a ship. And Christ steps into this church today, and not only do the wind and the waves obey him, but he also orders the waters of holy baptism to drown you in your sins and resurrect you to the newness of life that he gives to you. He orders the bread and wine prepared on this altar today to become for you himself, his very body and blood, so that he may become part of you in both body and soul until life everlasting, so that he may become one with you. It's not about us coming to God and saying, "Look at us, look at us. Here I'm putting in a big offering. Look at us, look at us. I'm praying so piously. Look at us, look at us. We praise you." Because in all reality, we don't want to. He must step into this place and to the messes of our lives and make everything right by his perfect death and resurrection. And you know what? He has. Because he is in control. He is the one who has created this big blue ball that we walk on and are travailing over, and he has given you this day that we would rejoice and be glad in it. And should he give you tomorrow, next week, or next year, know this, that he is in control and that he cares for you. We are not in control. Christ is. He alone will guide and sustain us each and every day that he grants to us. For as we said also in the Catechism, he defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Beloved in Christ, there is no other religion in the world that speaks like this creed. There is no other religion in the world that speaks as God caring for you, guarding you, and protecting you. Every other religion of the world understands God as a God who wants to trade favors with you, a God who works through something silly like karma, or a God who demands perfect submission and obedience through the whole world. You have a God who has given you this good creation and who has given you the clothes on your back, the shoes on your feet, the car that you drive, and the very gifts of himself this day. Relish in God's good creation. Be good stewards of it, but also know that he has ordered our days and our deeds by his peace that we would walk in them, not knowing where we go or how we go or with what we go, but knowing that he is with us, even walking with us through the valley of the shadow of death, giving you peace, peace that the world cannot give, peace that no ruler or dictator can try to show us, peace that knows no end, but peace that is focused on you and the forgiveness of all of your sins, and so that in all of these things we may know and glorify him truly as the Son of God for us. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.